Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. Hallelujah. And then we've been studying the Word of God, studying scriptures concerning the subject of remission of sins, forgiveness as it is in Christ Jesus. We've seen so far the meaning of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. We've made a clear distinction between Old Testament and New Testament forgiveness. We've seen the place of repentance in the gospel. What kind of repentance does a man need to receive the remission of sins? Hallelujah. And so, today, we want to examine the place of restitution. Is restitution necessary before and after salvation? Is restitution necessary for receiving remission of sins? Or after receiving remission of sins, is restitution necessary to retain the forgiveness of sins, or to have access into the full thing? Many believers hold on to the tradition or the practice or the teaching that says, that upholds that a man must restitute for his past wrongs. You must go back now that you're a Christian. You must go around and restitute for your wrongs. You must go and make things right and things like that. And then, amazingly, I find this very strange to the New Testament. Amen. Now, the bait is this. The bait is that this idea of restitution sounds very good. Sounds like the right thing you should do. Sounds like a righteous thing. Sounds like, you know, I mean, it's so appealing to our morality. It's appealing to our self-righteousness. But it is very, very, very strange to the doctrine of the New Testament. Hallelujah. The word restitution is found only once in the King James Version of the New Testament. Just once. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Follow this now. Acts 3:21. Bible says, whom heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, whom God has spoken, and which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The restitution of all things. The NKJV translates that word as restoration of all things. And the usage shows that God was not referring to what men should do. This is what Christ will do. He's the one that restores all things. Praise God. Is the one that restores all things. So you won't find the word restitution in the New Testament used for the man that believes the gospel, used for the man that is newly saved. There's no instruction given to such men on how they ought to go and make right their wrongs. Amen. So where did this come from? Apparently, this is a word that was used, first used in the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, and then is used four times in that particular chapter, Exodus chapter 22. We find it as Exodus 22, verse 3, Exodus 22, verse 5, Exodus 22, 6, and Exodus 22, 12. So, in short, this was a carryover from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. Hallelujah. A carryover from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. And people are practicing it today. Amen. I mean, we've heard of cases of people who had to go back as far as their childhood, their teenage years, and then, you know, to make things right. And, you know, all those things sound very, very good. But the point here is that there is no such teaching in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Jesus gave no such instruction or pattern. Praise God. So this makes it very, very wrong and erroneous to make it a compulsory thing. This makes it wrong and erroneous to make it a necessity. Hallelujah. Anybody who feels that he needs to go back to, you know, make all things right, if you can even make all things right, you believe you want to make all things right. Well, that's based on your own decision and volition. Hallelujah. That's your choice. But Jesus did not give such instruction to anybody in the New Testament. Even while Jesus was on the face of the earth in his earthly ministry, Jesus never told sinners to go back and do this and do that to qualify for the, you know, for the mercy of God, to receive forgiveness of sins, you know, by faith. No, it's such a carryover, a fatal carryover from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Now, let's examine Exodus 22. I'll read from verse 1 to 12. Why was restitution practiced in the Old Testament? Why were people told to restitute, restore things back to themselves in the Old Testament? You're going to get this very clearly. It's so simple and very clear. Exodus 22 from verse 1 to 12. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution if he has nothing. Then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. If a man causes a field of vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal, and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. If fire breaks out and catches in thorns, so that stacked grain, standing grain, or the field is consumed, he will kindle the fire, shall surely make restitution. If a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. If the thief is not found, then the master of the house shall be brought to the judges to see whether he has put his hand into his neighbor's goods. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or clothing, or any kind of lost thing, which another claims to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whomever the judges condemn shall pay double to his neighbor. If a man delivers to his neighbor a donkey, an ox, a sheep, or any animal to keep, and he dies, it ought, or driven away, no one seeing it, then an oath of the Lord shall be between them both, that he has not put his hand into his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept that, and he shall not make it good. But if in fact it is stolen from him, he shall make restitution to the owner of it. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, that's quite a lot. This is a law in the Old Testament. This is according to a law in the Old Testament that men are to repay. If you steal something, you are meant to restore 5 times or 4 times, as the case may be, oxen or sheep. Hallelujah. Now, this is exactly the spirit of the law. Have you noticed that forgiveness is not what is being taught here? Have you noticed that forgiveness is not what is being promoted by the law? What you find being promoted by the law in this place is that, you see, you should seek for vengeance and get, you know, revenge. Hallelujah. That is what is being promoted by the law. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 to 2. Therefore, let us give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip away. For if the word spoken by angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. That's the spirit of the law. You won't find forgiveness in the law. You won't find, you know, there was no forgiveness from God to man in the law. There was also no forgiveness, that is, remission of sins in the law. There was also no forgiveness in relating with one another in the law. What you find is a recompense, a just recompense of every error, of every disobedience. Hallelujah. So the law did not promote forgiveness in any way. The law did not promote forgiveness between God and man, that is, coming from God to man. The law did not promote forgiveness between men and men. So if you do this, you are meant to restore, you are meant to restitute. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Leviticus chapter 24 verse 20. The law has a principle. Leviticus 24 verse 20. Glory be to Jesus. The law has a principle. Leviticus 24. Are you there? Bible says, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. And whoever kills an animal shall restore it. Whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same love for the stranger and for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. Now you see, have you seen this? That's the spirit of the law. Fracture for fracture, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Listen to Jesus at Matthew 5 verse 38. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Have you seen? So that means Jesus does not promote the spirit of the law. Jesus doesn't promote the spirit of the law. Jesus has no such law of you waiting for somebody to come and restore back to you that which they took from you. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is promoting forgiveness. Jesus is promoting love. Promoting love and forgiveness. The law was promoting vengeance and revenge. Hallelujah. To get even. In fact, beyond getting even, you get more that was taken away from you. So restitution is a doctrine of the law. Hallelujah. It's a doctrine of the law. Look at Luke chapter 19, verse 8 to 10. The only person that mentioned something like restitution in the ministry of Jesus was not even a disciple. It was a man that was trying to impress him. Luke chapter 19, verse 8 to 10. Luke 19, verse 8 to 10. Glory to Jesus. I read, Bible says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Hallelujah. Interestingly, Jesus sounded or behaved as though he did not hear him. He just said what he had come to the house to do. He just said what he had come to do in the first place. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus didn't say, wow, you mean you restore? Wow, fourfold, wow, my God. Hallelujah. Wasn't standing in awe of this particular practice. Because you know why? This idea in itself is just self-righteous. You're just trying to impress yourself and impress God with your goodness. Imagine how he said to Jesus, look, I give half of my goods to the poor. Who asked him? And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Who asked him? He was trying to impress Jesus. Hallelujah. He was trying to impress Jesus. And Jesus, see, salvation has come to your house this day. It was not because of his attitude. That's why he says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to seek and to save him because he was a good person or because he was righteous. He came to seek and to save him because he was lost. Even in his restitution, he was still lost. Because restitution is not what saves. Hallelujah. I'll repeat that again. Zacchaeus, in his restitution, was still lost. Salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So what exactly does God expect the new convert to begin to do? If God does not expect him to go back to his past and begin to right all his wrongs, what exactly does God expect from him? Number one, God expects him to grow spiritually. Hallelujah. God expects him to begin to mature spiritually. Through a consistent and voracious intake of the word of God, God expects him to sit down and be taught the realities of his new life. God expects him to begin to lay hold and to acknowledge the facts of his redemption, the things that have come his way via the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the benefits that have accrued to him because of his faith in Christ Jesus. God expects him to begin to grow. God places premium on spiritual growth. Hallelujah. And it just makes sense. When a baby is born, the focus is on spiritual maturity. It looks to me as though a lot of folks do not believe that the man that receives Jesus Christ becomes a new man. He's a man without a past. Hallelujah. Of course, this is humanly absurd. This is absurd. This is foolish to men. It's foolish to the carnally minded. It's foolish to men who are unspiritual in their orientation and inclination. It is foolish. It doesn't make sense to say that the man you saw yesterday, he went to the crusade ground, or he was met on the street by a brother, a sister, a Christian, and he got born again. And from that day, God reckons him as a new man without a past. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be justified? To be declared not guilty as though you had never done anything wrong. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 is no joke. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hallelujah. God has reconciled us to himself. We are new creatures in the sight of God. Glory be to Jesus. We are new creatures in the sight of God. All our offenses have been wiped away. All our offenses have been wiped away in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him. That's the newness of life we are talking about. You're a new man in the sight of God. You've got no past. Hallelujah. Made alive together with him. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. There's a new life. There's a new life. So God is not expecting you to begin to try to right all your wrongs to receive forgiveness of sins or to retain forgiveness of sins. It's an evil doctrine. Hallelujah. It's an evil doctrine. We've seen people's salvation outlawed, humanly speaking, outlawed, because they were not able to fully restitute. You say, well, we can't doubt the potency of your salvation, because if you are really saved, you'll have gone to do all your restitution. It makes no sense. It's an evil doctrine. The burden we are placing on new converts is unnecessary. When a man believes the gospel and is saved, what God expects him to begin to do is to begin to mature in the faith, to begin to grow spiritually, to begin to pay attention to the word of God by which he is brought to maturity. Hallelujah. God expects him to begin to lay hold on the facts of the new life. Hallelujah. God expects him to begin to lay hold on the fact of the new life. God expects him to know who he has become in Christ Jesus intimately, so much that he begins to manifest the same. Hallelujah. The man is commended unto spiritual growth. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What I commend you unto is God's word, which is able to build you up. Hallelujah. Spiritual maturity. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Glory be to Jesus. That you may grow thereby. Desire the word of God. So God is not placing any demand on the new convert. God is not placing any demand on those who have received the gift of remission of sins, apart from the fact that he expects them to begin to pay attention to his word so that they can be brought to maturity in the faith. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. Listen, Christ did not teach restitution. Not before salvation, not after salvation. Christ never taught restitution. He never instructed anybody to go and restitute. He did nothing of that. He said nothing about this. None of the apostles taught restitution. That's why you read all the letters of Peter, all the letters of John, all the letters of James. He has just one. You read the letters, all the letters of Paul. You read the epistle of Jude. You won't find a teaching on how a man that receives Christ Jesus today must begin to do restitution. It's an evil doctrine. It's a false doctrine. It puts on the man that receives the gospel, it puts on new converts an unnecessary burden and pressure. Glory to Jesus. Listen, Jesus did not save you because you were able to right your wrongs. He saved you because you couldn't do anything about your wrongs. He saved you because you couldn't right your wrongs. That's why he came to save you. Hallelujah. You could not save yourself. It was humanly impossible for us to be saved. And that's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. So before a man is saved, restitution is not required. After a man is saved, restitution is still not required. Hallelujah. It is still not required. What God expects from you is that you begin to mature in the faith. Now, spiritual maturity will affect how you relate with everybody. Based on those, even with those who are in your past. Hallelujah. Based on those you have wronged in time past, when you were still in the flesh, when you were still dead in your sins. It will change everything. You don't begin by trying to right all your wrongs. You begin by growing up in the faith. Glory be to Jesus. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 to 7, Colossians 2, 6 to 7, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in the faith in him and established in the faith. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did we receive Christ Jesus? By hearing his word. It is to continue in the same, to walk in him in the same manner. That is, we should keep receiving his word. We should keep paying attention to his word till we are rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Hallelujah. We should continue to receive God's word. This is what God is expecting. The moment a man becomes saved, the next thing God expects is spiritual maturity, which does not come by trying to go and right all your wrongs. It comes only by paying attention to the word of the gospel, to the truth of the gospel, to the word of God as it is revealed in Christ Jesus. You begin to learn the truth of Christ afresh. You begin to learn concerning who God has made you and what God expects you to do and how God expects you to conduct your life now that you're a Christian. You begin to delve into the unsearchable riches of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Philemon 1:6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That is in you in Christ Jesus. Look at James chapter 1. The man is expected to start paying attention to God's word, start paying attention to scriptures, start paying attention to the teaching of the word of God, so that he may find spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. James chapter 1, I'll read from verse 21. James 1:21. Therefore, laying aside every superfluity of naughtiness and overflow of wickedness, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. Lay aside, another version says to lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now look at verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Many have taught this portion of scripture to mean, they've taught it this way, that a man is meant to strive to do the word of God. Don't just be a hearer of God's word. Do God's word. Do it. Just strive to do it. No, James gives us the secret. The man that will be a doer of the word is the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look. The word, the words in it are not in the originals. That's why they are in italics. The one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not in the originals, it's in italics. Because what the man James was saying in this place is that he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look, and continues in the looking, hallelujah, that's the man that will not become a forgetful hearer. The way to not forget is to keep hearing it again, is to keep hearing it over and over and over and over again. The man Paul at Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 says, beloved, for me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Hallelujah. So the man that looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues to look is the man that will not become a forgetful hearer. And that is the man that does the word. Amen. When you consider that the word of God is likened to food, you understand how that it's by continuing to look, you eventually be brought to maturity. So unlike the law of Moses that gives instructions, a man listens to the instruction and then tries to go and act it out. The word of God, the New Testament, the New Covenant operates differently. You listen to God's word, you receive the word of God, you receive it till the word of God itself begins to prompt you to do. So you do as much as you hear. Hallelujah. You begin to do to the degree that you hear. It is the word of God that makes us do the word of God. Glory be to Jesus. It is God's word that makes us doers of the word. So we receive till we do. And this is what God is expecting from everyone that becomes born again. Not that you start going around trying to right your wrongs. You should start growing. Hallelujah. You should start growing. You should start growing. In fact, one of the best ways to right your wrongs is to start growing in the faith. Number two, fulfill the ministry. God expects you. God calls you into a ministry. He has called you to a ministry. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 19. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are of God, and all things have become new. Rather, the Bible says in verse 18, and all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So the man that receives the new life, the man that becomes a new creature, in the same vein, is given the ministry of reconciliation. So you have a ministry to fulfill. Hallelujah. You have a ministry to fulfill. So imagine that all the apostles of Jesus, all the disciples he called to himself, Jesus did not give an instruction to any of them to try to go back and right all their wrongs. Rather, he sent them to the world to go and preach the gospel. Because the best way to right your wrongs as a man, as a person today, is by proclaiming the gospel to the world. It's by preaching the gospel to the world. It's by delivering them from the spirit at work within them. The spirit that was once at work in you, that made you do all the wrong things you did. Hallelujah. So you are now sent to preach the gospel to deliver them from the power of this evil one. That's the best way to, in quotes, right your wrongs. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. This is the best way to live. Many of the people you want to, you offended in your past, many of the people you've been told to go and meet and, you know, right your wrongs with them, these are folks who are also in need of God's forgiveness. The law breeds self-righteous people. The New Testament shows us that, see, every man is in need of God's forgiveness, both the offended and the offender. In fact, those who have been offended have also offended somebody. Glory be to Jesus. So if you want to go by restitution, the restitution key will be endless. Hallelujah. It will be endless. There's no such instruction given to us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Being justified freely. So all have sinned, both the offended and the offender. Everyone who has been offended, you know, is also an offender. Glory be to Jesus. So God expects us to fulfill our ministry. That's the reason why he gave us ministry gifts, meant to teach and perfect us in the faith. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, meant to teach and nourish us and nurture us. He himself gave some to be apostles, some pastors, you know, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So you have a ministry to fulfill, and God has sent men to equip you to fulfill this ministry. Glory to Jesus. So you have a ministry to fulfill. What does God expect you to do now that you are saved? Now that you have received the gift of remission of sins, to grow up in the faith, to mature spiritually, and then number two, to fulfill the ministry. Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before time that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Now, this is not popular opinion, but I dare say that you honor God more, you honor God more, you glorify God more when you begin to grow in the faith and you begin to fulfill the ministry, you begin to preach the gospel, than when you busy yourself trying to do restitution and righting all your wrongs. You honor God more when you obey the mandate to preach the gospel. Let me give you a perspective. Humans, by default, are unforgiving. By default. So now you are saved. Then you go back to people who you know in your past, people who before you got saved, you had wronged them and all that. So you go back to them, you know, depending on even the gravity of the offense. So you say, I'm sorry, I was the one that did this. Humans by default are unforgiving. So let's assume that some of the things you did, you know, made you deserving of death. Maybe death by hanging or death by firing squad. Now you go back, you in the name of trying to restitute, eventually you were sentenced to death by hanging and then you died. Praise God. Now, if you hadn't gone back to say you wanted to restitute, probably you'll have matured in the faith, grow up in the faith, and then eventually fulfill your ministry. You'll have reached more people for Jesus. You'll have gotten people saved in their hundreds, sometimes in their thousands. Amen. It's possible you even became a pastor. It's possible you became an evangelist. It's possible you became an apostle. And then you've brought multitudes of men and women to God. Hallelujah. To Jesus. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Which one do you think glorifies God more? You going back to attempt to right a wrong and then they taking vengeance, or you growing up in the faith and doing the work of ministry and bringing many more souls to Christ? I think it's the latter. Hallelujah. I think it's the latter. I think that's what God expects you to do according to the word of God. I think it's the latter. It makes more sense to grow up in the faith and fulfill the ministry. And fulfill the ministry and bring many more souls to Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not just thinking it. I know this to be true from the word of God. I know this to be true from the word of God. I know this to be the best approach from the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Those who expect you to go and restitute all things, themselves have not restituted all things. Hallelujah. Because it's impossible. Now, some would say, well, you can't restitute everything, but there are some things. There are some things. Listen, why some things? Why can't we restitute everything? It doesn't make sense. Glory be to Jesus. It doesn't make sense. So we are to busy ourselves with spiritual maturity and grow up in the faith such that we are able to fulfill our ministry. Contrary to the idea of trying to go right all your wrongs and repay people for all the wrongs you've done and all that, let's see how the Apostle Paul taught this at Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. It says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. No longer. That is, you once did it. No longer. That is, discontinue from that kind of lifestyle. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, being because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's prescribing a new way of living. Look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, but nor give place to the devil. Look at verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him work, labor with his hand. Let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Have you seen? Not let him who stole go and repay all that he has stolen. Go and restore all that he has stolen. It is let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Glory be to Jesus. That is, you did it in the time of ignorance. Now move on. Steal no longer. Do good. Hallelujah. Work with your hands. Cater for them that are in need also. Support the people who are in need also. Now that you are born again. Now that you are a Christian. Now that you are in Christ. Hallelujah. You see? So it's not about going to restore all you have stolen. It's about stealing no more. Praise God. It's about disengaging from that kind of lifestyle that you walked in when you were ignorant. Because that's what it begins with at verse 17. I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Hallelujah. Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Hallelujah. So you were ignorant when you were doing all this. Now that you know better, you must show forth a new way of living. Glory be to Jesus. In accordance with the life you carry on the inside. So there's nothing. So it's not about who you were and what you have done. It's about who you are now and what you should be doing now. Praise God. That's what the Bible teaches. So restitution has no place in the New Testament for receiving remission of sins, or for retaining remission of sins, or for showing that you have now truly become saved or born again. Hallelujah. There's no such thing in the teachings of Christ and his apostles. Hallelujah. Now, no matter how hard or bitter it is, a pill to swallow, this is the truth of the word of God. Hallelujah. Meditate on these things. Go back to scriptures. Check, you know, everything that has been said, and then you find out that this is the truth of God's word concerning us in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So have a beautiful weekend. Be full of the Holy Ghost, full of the word, full of prayers. And then in the next episode, which is next week, Monday, do good to invite your friends, invite your neighbors, your family members, your colleagues, and, you know, share on your status, on your Facebook wall. Let's just come around together to have a great time in the word of God. See you in the next episode.